No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Wherever you want your train to run.
Yeah.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Wisco Fanatics. Today is March 13th, which means today is the official first day of the NFL new league year. So we made it, boys. The offseason was long and annoying, but the Packers made a lot of moves. Tyler and I both put out videos. Tyler made a video. I made a reel to kind of get the word out there separately. What's going on, Reggie? But it's going to be an exciting year in Green Bay. Today we're going to be covering the Badgers' last two games, Tyler Wahl's last home game, and the Tyler Wahl's last road game, technically Big Ten road game
as regular season
for the season. And then we're going to talk some Bucks basketball, which is going to be a little frustrating, but we got to do it. But as Mike requested, I have some facts of the day. Do you want me to start with the funny one, or do you want me to start with the March Madness ones?
Ooh, I think we got to go March because, you know, right. March Madness.
All right. Also, if I'm the only one that laughs at the funny one, I'm okay with that because I laughed writing it down. I laughed when I read it, when I wrote it down, and if I laugh after I say it, it's fine.
Fair enough.
So, on this day, these are just facts for today in history. In 1998, Bryce Drew, who was a guard for Valparaiso, hit a three-pointer as time expires to give Valpo an upset over number 4 seed Ole Miss. I watched a highlight of that. It was electric. A 13 seed over a 4 seed. They won 70-69.
Nice.
Yep. Buzzer beater 3. Yeah.
Absolutely. Nice.
I remember that clip. They show that a decent amount around this time of the year. I love
it. They do. It's a sick highlight. So, on this day in 2012, BYU pulls off the biggest comeback in NCAA tournament history, 25 points to beat Iona 78-72. They were both 14 seeds that year and they were part of the first four. So those games usually people don't really watch. They don't really watch until, you know, the real official first day, but that was a good one in 2012. Now this is just a straight up basketball one. Just some basketball history. On this date in 2018, Russell Westbrook gets his 100th triple double for his career. He had 32, 12, and 12. He was the third fastest player to reach that milestone. So now here we are. That's childish.
I like it though.
On this day in 1781, English astronomer William Herschel observed the seventh planet from the sun, Uranus. I'm fine laughing by myself. That was just too good not to share. But that is your history of March 13th, boys.
There we go. But,
Rutgers. Badgers and Rutgers. Well, Reggie laughed, so you got Reggie on your side.
Hey, I appreciate it, Reggie. We got to stay kids as long as we can, man.
All right. Mike, what stood out to you against the Badgers against Rutgers from last Thursday?
Yeah, so happy March Madness, everybody. This is my favorite time. This is my favorite month of the year. Not about holiday. Well, you know what? I do classify March Madness as a national holiday. The
you
first two would. Days of the tournament.
You look exactly. You like. You could be the poster of a dude who's like you would put the poster up and be like, March Madness should be a national holiday. We could put your face on that poster. You look like a dude who would say March Madness is a national holiday.
And you also got a guy on here who's got off the next two Thursdays and Fridays, right? Because we got conference tourney play. Although I'll be down in Madison for state basketball tomorrow for the rest of the weekend. I always go to that. And then I'm off for the NCAA tournament too, because at the end of the day, I would not get shit done at my job if I didn't have those days off. So it's for the best of the company that I work at, and better for everyone involved. So, takeaways against Rutgers, my first one. First takeaway, welcome back, Mr. Kamari McGee. This dude looked like he looked 100%. Going into this game, we were talking in chat, Coach Gard was talking about, he's questionable day to day, et cetera. And then, after the game, Coach Gard, using a pun here, Coach Gard caught Coach Gard off guard, with being in fine shape for this game. So, Kamari McGee, 11 points in 10 minutes, 5 of 5 shooting. And one big time three ball that, escalated us to, I think it was up to a 10-point lead at that time. So obviously what a great return, provided that spark that this team obviously needed. I mean, we all know that he always brings toughness, grit, and just a disruptor. He didn't have any steals or anything like that, but he was still scrappy. He made life a living hell for, the Rutgers point guards. And I think even if we do run into this team again in the Big Ten tournament, this does set us up, like, because they are a little smaller on the guard side. And I think this is a perfect matchup for someone like Kamari to play 10 plus minutes again, 10 to 15 minutes along those lines. And I feel good about that matchup again, especially with him being back. So
they play tonight, I think. I think they and Maryland play tonight. If they win, the winner of that game plays Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yep, that's correct. So, it was good to see, because we obviously know this team needed some sort of a spark, whether it came from, the bench, maybe one of the starters just obviously goes off for a big day. But it was awesome to see Kamari McGee just have a freaking day out there while he was on the court. So, and then, number two, this is more just of a reflection call out. Got to go on senior day. Got to go, Mr. Tyler Wall. He had one heck of a stat line in his last game, unordinary. So 3 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 steals. So not really what he usually does, but, he was unorthodox at times too in his play style. So maybe that's how you want to go out with a bang. So, and the, those 4 steals led to a team high, season high for the team with 14. So that was incredible in itself. Just a few call outs. Tyler Wall was a 1,000 point scorer. I believe he's the 48th Badger to do that. So, props to him. This season he's averaged 11.7 points a game, 1.8 assists, 6 rebounds, and, one steal. So not bad at all. Throughout his career, he was honorable mention Big Ten in 2022 and 2024. And just another guy, at the end of the day, put in 5 years in this program, a 3-year starter, he was another guy that just brought toughness and grit. He did play a little out of control at times, but there was a reason why in the beginning of this year, I put him at a scale at 10, right? Because I think at the end of the day, he's also somewhat of the heart and soul of the squad for this season, based off of experience and what he can bring to the table. So, just had to give a great shout out to Tyler Wall for having a great Badgers career, even if this ends in a poor way or in a great way, hopefully, but he did definitely deserve some kudos on our end.
So I'm going to jump in and I want to tie this into your first point on Kamari McGee. And I want to talk about John Blackwell and Jake's burn. But there were points in this second half, especially the fourth quarter, quote unquote, of this game, where all three point guards were on the floor at the same time. So Blackwell, McGee, and Chucky were all on the floor at the same time, and they were all doing work. All doing work on both ends of the floor. And John Blackwell, his second half defense was stellar. It's the only word I can use for it. Like, saying good, great, awesome doesn't do it justice. And then he was driving the car offensively for a little while too. He had 8 points in the final 5 minutes of the game. He finished with 17 total points, 8 rebounds, and 2 steals. Now, I want to bring this up and tie it into Kamari McGee. Last week we were asked the question, what caused the Badgers' collapse? And you know, it's something that I don't think we talked about enough. Like, I'm sure we mentioned it here and there, but I don't think we talked about enough how important Kamari McGee and John Blackwell were to this team when they were winning. So if you look at the Badgers losing streak, or, you know, their 2-8 stretch that they had, it lines up perfectly with the injuries to Kamari McGee and John Blackwell. It lines up almost identically.
Well, then last year, the injury to Tyler Wall was kind of when the downfall kind of happened.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I wanted to bring that up. And now this isn't one of my goals for the next week or anything like that. And at this point of the season, it's not going to happen. But this is something that I feel can tie into next season. And I'm going to go back to what I said a couple months ago. John Blackwell, go get Max Klusman's starting spot. And I'm not saying that, like, Max needs to be taken out of the starting lineup or anything, but, like, if I was John Blackwell's hype man, I'm like, go get that spot. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about John Blackwell and how he's played over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it. Yeah.
What's that?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, we've talked about it in the group chat, maybe potentially going small ball next year, depending what our lineup ends up being with, you know, needs and stuff like that. So, yeah, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're good. My other one is playing percentages. So this game got off to a little bit of a rocky start, and it was because Rutgers was making threes, which they do not do. So the Badgers, smartly, playing to percentages. The Rutgers started well. They finished 7 of 21. That's 33%. Our number 345 out of 362 teams. On the season, they shoot 29.1%. From the
holy crap,
yeah, let them let it fly.
That ain't it, yeah.
So, I'm all on board with how Greg Gard told his guys to play defense to let them shoot the three because they are not good at it.
It's almost like when you're playing a pickup game and you know a guy can't shoot and he makes a three pointer, and you're like, you're in a little bit, you're kind of like, yes, you're, right? You're kind of embarrassed because like he finally made one, but then you're kind of like, he's gonna shoot another one of those,
dude.
Yep. Heat check.
Heat checking someone.
All right. Next thing is free throws. The Badgers, they started 2 for 7, which is rough. They did finish overall 15 for 23. That's 65.2%. It's not awful, but it's probably 5 to 7% below where you want them to be. Yeah. Or expect them to be, I should say. And then I just want to call out a couple things because Rutgers, to their credit, they're actually a pretty decent defensive team.
Oh, yeah. They don't screw around, man.
Yeah.
No, they're really good on defense.
Yeah.
And it is 40.
What was that?
Yeah. Badgers have 45. And Rutgers' defense, on average, their opponent points per game is 66, and the Badgers scored 78. So for the Badgers' offense to be struggling for a little while, not bad. And then looking at some other things, Wisconsin out-rebounded Rutgers 39 to 28. That's good to see. And then the Badgers had 3 turnovers in the first 5 minutes of the game. That's not ideal. But they only had 9 turnovers for the next 35 minutes of the game. And Rutgers, to their credit, they forced 14.9 turnovers a game. Badgers finished with 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Jake.
So a couple things. I wanted to talk about points in the paint. Points in the paint was a beautiful thing. You go back to that game we played at Rutgers. And they absolutely crushed us in every way imaginable. They were the more physical team. They were quicker. They just felt like a team that wanted to win that day, and it felt like the Badgers didn't punch back, right? Now we're going to fast forward to, you know, the game that happened last week Thursday, right? Am I wrong on that? Is that last Thursday?
Rutgers?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So last Thursday. And, you know, Tyler kind of broke down a little bit. Rutgers was kind of getting after us a little bit. And it kind of felt like, okay, they are not shying away from us. They're being a little physical with us again. And to the Badgers' point, they kept getting after it, man. They turned up the intensity. They turned up the physicality. And, you know, you could literally see that in the points in the paint stat right there, is that the Badgers are not being pushed around. And that is an awesome thing to see, especially after everything this team has been through. I thought that was a really important stat for them to win. For a person named Stephen Crowell, for one, I mean, I'm not going to do it because he just – that guy is Jekyll and Hyde if I've ever seen a player Jekyll and Hyde. Unbelievable. But that's my point on that. Now, I do have some good stuff on Chucky Hepburn, mostly for after the Purdue game, but I just want to give him credit for really, really moving the ball really well. I thought his distribution, keeping everybody involved, everybody connected, I thought it was a beautiful thing, kept the offense going, especially when we went on that 17-2 run. I felt like Chucky was being overshadowed a little bit because, yes, everybody was excited to see Kamari McGee back, but Chucky was the guy kind of pushing all the right buttons in the, in those moments to kind of like, oh, okay, I think I'll try RBB this time or RBX this time or RBY this time. And he was just kind of distributing and pulling all the right strings, and he was doing a fantastic job, in my opinion, and he always, always plays defense. So I really just want to give a shout-out to that, but I got some sick numbers for you guys when we get to it after this Purdue game because he needs some respect.
You want to just go right into it?
You want me to say it?
Nice transition right into it. We'll just go
I'll be right into it. So Chucky didn't have a good game overall against Purdue.
Yeah.
And I do not want that to overshadow what he's done over these last 11 games of the season. He has a 40 assist to 9 turnover margin.
40 to 9?
40 assists to 9 turnovers.
That's like 13 to 1. That's 13.3 to 1.
Dude, it's disgusting.
That's ridiculous, dude.
Now, on top of that, he has 26 steals.
Damn.
So that's 2.5 a game. Well, 2.2, something like that per game. Holy crap. Yeah.
I think the averages, I just wanted to put hard numbers out there so people can really realize. I can give you averages all day and people can hear and be like, oh, I've heard that average before. If you hear the hard numbers, it really makes an impact, in my opinion.
You said 20
to 9.
26 steals.
And 26 steals in 11 games.
If you do steals to turnovers, too, that's almost 3-1 steals to turnovers. So and let me just say this. Like, if you're talking about a day where he's not shooting well, he's still giving the Badgers extra possessions by getting steals.
That is exactly my next point, and what I'm going to finish with, because I'm going to hit the ball over the fence right now. Now, 40 assists to 9 turnovers is sick by itself. You add in the 26 steals, he's helping on both ends, no matter what way you look at it.
Yep.
He didn't have a great shooting percentage, but because he was 14 of 42 over those 11 games. But honestly, if you look at it from a totality standpoint, that sounds terrible, right? But if you look at it from game-to-game basis, which we do, and you look at the situations that the Badgers were in, you would know that he had to force some shots up. And that hurts your percentage-wise, right? But it doesn't matter because this guy is a two-way player. Honestly, if he figures he needs a go-to move on offense, that's just my first opinion. Mid-range, post, if you're going to come off the dribble and you're going to pull up, I don't give a shit what it is. That is his number one thing this offseason if I was his coach. You get a go-to move so you know you're going to score. If he figures out a way to score, this man can find his way as a backup point guard in the NBA. I really see it.
I see the path.
I mean, 40 assists and 9 turnovers is stupid. You take care of the ball. You're sharing the ball with your teammates. And we know how poor the Badgers shoot sometimes from the field, especially behind the arc. So to have 40 assists in that time is crazy. Getting 26 steals is being an absolute bulldog and a menace on the defensive end. Do not disrespect Chucky Hepburn. I'm not living for it anymore.
The taking care of the ball part, too, is what sticks out because we've talked about this numerous times this year on turnovers being an absolute issue with this team. So when you hear that, it's like, well, shit, Chucky ain't the problem.
No, he's not. Absolutely he's not. If he shoots more efficiently from the field, stud.
Yeah.
Absolute stud.
Yep.
We'll take him one more year.
So I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit right here. Because I called for Greg Gard to play a little bit extra people. I was like, you gotta dip in, man. Now, he didn't really have to do it in the Rutgers game because John Blackwell and Kamari McGee were just like, everybody else sit down.
Chill out. We got this.
So, you know, hats off to them. They were tremendous. John Blackwell's been absolutely a surprise of the year to me and to everybody in Badgers Nation. Kamari McGee has proven himself as a Big Ten point guard when he first struggled when he got here last year. But you get to this next game and against Purdue, and McGee played 11 minutes again, and I thought he was just fine. Now, obviously, he's not going to go 5 for 5 and 1 for 1 behind the arc every damn game. You can't expect that. That's not realistic. But playing Marcus Ilver for 9 minutes. Now, he didn't see the ball go in the basket too much, but the thing that really stuck out to me was a quote after the game from Greg Gard, and they ran a play for him at the end of the game because Gard wanted to see him see the ball go in. That was a big thing that I took away from that. Was like, oh, so you got plans. Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, I don't care how it goes in. He banked it. Don't care. Bank was open clearly on a Sunday at 3 p.m, but it doesn't matter. It was 3 points for us. But the real surprise was Hodges' first minutes of the season.
Yeah, that was –
I'm interested what your guys' thoughts are on that. I kind of wanted to pose that question to you. What do you think that was about?
Okay, I'll cut to the chase. I personally, like, I know, but like we talked about a little, but I don't look too much into it.
Okay.
We had foul trouble for the most part. So, yeah, I mean,
he's a big body.
I don't want to sound harsh, but this is going to be one of those guys that I think that ends up transferring out. I mean, we obviously know how Nolan Winters Nolan Winters talented. We know he's got a future, but if he's already playing, if he's playing over a guy that over Hodges, who's been in the program, I think this is his third year now. You know, that kind of screams to me. And then this is your first minutes of the year that he probably won't be around for too much longer. But that was out of, you know, shit, we're running out of big bodies. We got to put somebody in there.
Yeah, I thought that
safe
too.
Safe to say, that's just my view.
Yeah. It made me think of the video where they were talking about Shaquille O'Neal, about how dominant he was when he came in the league.
Yeah.
They were like, you needed three big dudes just because you were going to run out of fouls.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it made me think of. And Zach Edey is, he's just a giant human being. And I've heard that there's a mock draft going around that has the Bucks drafting Zach Edey at 25, and I want no part in that.
Huh?
At 25, bro?
Yeah.
That's insanity.
That's going to be a hefty no thank you for me. But the thing is he's playing in college basketball, where he's the tallest person by 5 inches. And I'll give him credit. He's got some footwork. He's got some game. But he is just big and slow. Bottom line. So the Badgers needed somebody else to go in and foul him or to take some time guarding him and getting called for fouls.
Yeah.
That's what I took from it.
I don't think it was much more than that anyways as well. But, you know, the Marcus Ilver stuff was very intriguing. Getting Kamara McGee back it gives us some more depth. Now, if we can get guys like, you know, if Ilver, you know, starts becoming a scoring option off the bench and, you know, we can get a guy like Connor Asijan back on track. I mean, yo, this team all of a sudden looks like the team of Mikey's dreams. Just saying.
R.I.P. Well, R.I.P. Season's not over yet.
No, it's not. It's not. It's far from over, honestly.
Yeah.
Right.
And these are young kids, man. Yeah. You know, I've seen my son. Like, this is gonna be another, you know, example I'm just gonna use. I've seen my son in games, man, and he could be 0 for 10. That kid makes 2 in a row. I promise you nobody's stopping him. After he makes 2 in a row, you're done. You are done. These young kids, man, you pump them up, give them a little confidence, sky is the limit.
So I'm going to roll right into this because you're talking about the possibility of shooters, and I need to see that the Badgers have guys who can shoot that can be more than just liabilities on defense.
Yeah.
I need to see 3 and D. That's what I want from the Badgers, and this is going to tie into one of my goals in a minute here. But guys like Marcus Silver, Connor Asijan, Chucky Hepburn at times, AJ Storr at times, Max Klesman at times, these guys have had their struggles at the three-point line. Like, there's no way around it. Chucky was 0 for 4 in this game. Ilver was 1 for 5. His last one came with 24 seconds left, like Jake said, brought that one up. As a team, the Badgers were 5 of 24 on threes in this game, 20.8%.
Yeah.
And if there's a way that you can get a big, slow center away from the basket, it's by making threes.
so that they have to contest when Stephen Crowell is setting threes. If Chucky Hepburn is 3-for-5 on threes versus 0-for-4, Zach Edey has to come farther away from the basket. Yep. And those are the types of things that the Bucks do with Giannis, as they surround him with shooters so that it makes it easier for him to get to the rim. If the Badgers have a bunch of shooters, it's going to make it easier for guys like John Blackwell, Chucky Hepburn, and AJ Storr to get to the rim. So I need to see guys who can play, who can make their threes, and then I need to see guys play some defense. And this is going to be something I talk about when we get into goals as well. So I'm going to come back to this thought. But my second one, Reggie said we don't want to show all of our skills till March Madness. I don't know about that strategy, but
sleight of hand.
if it works and the Badgers end up in the Elite Eight or something, like, I won't be like, oh my god, I can't believe Greg Gard totally knew that they weren't going to do that. Like,
we're going to have to make a post of just Reggie's.
Who comment. Knew that Connor Essejian could just strip a guy every time he tried to dribble past them instead of just getting beat?
9-for-9 from three.
Yeah, right. So my other one, I want to go back to John Blackwell again. And after this game, he was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week again, his fourth time. And then he was also named to the Big Ten All-Freshman team, which makes sense given the amount of times he was named Freshman of the Week. 35 points in his last two games.
Stud.
He had 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting and 2-for-3 from the three-point line with 4 rebounds, 2 of them being offensive. John Blackwell has exceeded any possible expectations I could have had for him as a freshman. And, I've thought about this because we talked about some of the other freshmen in the beginning of the season. And John Blackwell, he knew what he needed to do. He talked about it in his very beginning of the season that he knew he was going to have to play defense to get on the floor. He's done that. And then he's made shots on top of it. So I'm going to go a little bit of a hot take here, and I'm going to say that John Blackwell should get the keys to the car in 2024 at the end of next season. Oof. Beginning of next season.
Over Chucky, bro? That's
crazy. I'm not saying starting point guard, but, Chucky Hepburn is the point guard, but John Blackwell should be the focal point of the team next year.
Interesting.
They're definitely going to set him up for a lot of looks. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I don't know if I would go that far, but I expect him to propel this team without a doubt. Like, he should have high expectations going into next year.
We have another point guard coming in, Freitag, that guy's a baller. He's along the lines of a John Blackwell defense. I think he's better on offense and a little bit worse on defense than Blackwell. Blackwell's a little bit more two-way, but dude, those two together are going to wreck some damn havoc.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's settle to you against Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about, like, the poor three-point shooting, but I think overall, I'm just going to say, I think this team did actually not play that bad. When you're down 11 on the road at Purdue, I'm not going to lie, I thought we were screwed. I'm just going to call that how it is, but there's a lot of fight, especially in the second half. And my first call out with that is going to be Tyler Wahl again. This is a Tyler Wahl day for me. He made it look, I don't want to say look easy, but this dude got buckets over Edey like multiple times. And, this happened in the first meeting too. Like, he had a day on Zach Edey at the Kohl Center. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 of 10 shooting. I mean, he got plenty of one-on-one looks on Edey, and it's just like, you just watch the game, it's like, how the hell? He's not getting that over him. No way. And it's just like his craftiness with his footwork and just the timing of it. Like, he had it, like, pinpointed, like, where he wanted to get to on his spots and everything. Credit to Tyler Wahl. I mean, obviously, this was much needed because our outside shooting was not great at all. Just to go off of this, so in these two games against Purdue, Wisconsin, believe it or not, is plus 14 in points in the paint over Purdue.
Really?
Which is wild. And we got to remember here, this is with Stephen Crowell being a black hole, basically. Sorry, Steve. Yeah. This is with Steve being a black hole in this last game specifically. So But I mean, like I said, Tyler Wall has had two great games against Purdue too, so I think a lot of it justifies this. But still, plus 14 over a 7'4" monster. That's definitely something that stood out to me. But you know, credit to this team, I do think we are stepping in the right direction. Hey, moral victories suck. I get it. Yes, fine. Argue me on that. But if you're looking at this team in these last two games here, you can't tell me they haven't at least, you know, there might be a little bit of a pulse, I guess, trending upward going into the Big Ten tournament. So
this is the thing with this is there's really like, there's no shame in being realistic here and saying that Purdue is a more talented team. Not to mention they have guys with experience as well. Like Purdue is a better team. That's obviously why they've been ranked in the top five the entire season.
True.
So, and I've talked about it at length in the last month about how hard it is to win on the road in the Big Ten. And then I mentioned the Badgers shot less than 21% of the 3-point line. And the Badgers lost by 8.
I mean, you look at it, we were down, yeah, we cut it to 4. And it was unfortunate because the guy who was called upon to try and, you know, cut it to a tie game or get close to that was Marcus Ilver. He had those two wide open looks. You know, he hoped for one of those to fall. And, you know, who knows what happens, but you know, we were right in this game. The fact that we came back down 11 on the road like that at Purdue, that definitely turned some heads. It definitely turned mine a little bit because we kept scrapping and clawing. And I mean, next thing you know, Tyler Wall just going off on Edie, and you know, it's a close game. And you know, a couple more 3-pointers, you know, who knows how it would have ended.
I got to make one shout out here real quick. I want to give a shout out to Robbie Hummel. First of all, he's etched out a very successful career early on in his broadcasting days. He does a lot of basketball games, not just Big Ten Network. He does like
Peacock.
He does like Fox games sometimes. I mean, he does a lot.
FS1, I think. Yeah.
He does Fox Sports 1. But shout out to him for not just like favoring Purdue. That's got to be hard for a guy. I mean, you got to think about it. He could have been a major homer that day. I mean, and back at the place that he played, the team that he, you know, they're 9.5-point favorites in this game. I mean, shout out to him, honestly, for honestly giving the Badgers a lot of credit when we were doing good. And then, you know, just keeping it basketball. Reggie Miller could take some notes here. Okay. I'm not trying to dog him, but I am trying to dog him because fuck that guy. Cause like he talks shit about the Bucks all the time and I hate that son of a bitch. But, you know, shout out to Robbie Hummel because honestly, I enjoy listening to Robbie Hummel. I think that he's really good. And God damn it, if the Badgers could shoot threes, we would have won a lot of goddamn games this year.
Yep. And I talked about close games. You know, the Badgers not as good this year as they were last year in close games. But here we are. And the Badgers start the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. Sorry. So it's going to be tomorrow. And I think they play right away again Friday if they win.
Yep.
Yep.
1:30 for both times.
Yeah.
Thursday, tomorrow is 1:30.
Yep.
And then if they win on Friday, they play at 1:30 again.
Right. Yeah. And then after that, we'll see how far they can go. But, Mike, what are you looking for goals for the start of the Big Ten tournament?
So I don't want to, like, I'm not going to say you can't put it on one guy this whole time, but I'm going to harp this again. Our winning percentage is incredibly higher when our boy Steve is in double figures. So I'm going to really challenge him going into Big Ten tournament play to get his head straight and be a contributing factor. Because when he gets in double figures, the percentages of us winning these games are like, I think it's substantial, right? So I really, really need him to step up because he was non-existent against Purdue for the most part. Rutgers did not have the best showing. If we get Rutgers again, like I better see something else out of him because, you know, if we're trending in the wrong direction, then going into obviously the tournament then next year with him. And I told you guys in the group chat, I still think at the end of the day, we have to go into the portal to challenge Steve specifically. I know we have Nolan Winter. I want another legit big man who can at least give me some good post moves, kind of similar to like what Chris Vogt was a couple of years ago.
Yep. Absolutely.
If we had that perfect marriage, I think potentially. Yep. So I still think no matter what happens, we do need to shop around in the portal for somebody like that. I'm sure it's going to be hard to come by. But no, I need my guy. We need Steve to really step it up here because, again, this team is completely different if he gets into double figures.
Can I throw this in there to do it efficiently as well?
Yeah.
Not 12 points on 6 of 15 shooting.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll go in. This is pretty blunt on goal number two. Badgers got to win at least 2 Big Ten tourney games, I think.
That's my second goal also.
At least 2. At this point, we're a 6th seed. If, God forbid, if we lose tomorrow against Rutgers, honestly, with how this season has ended from a win-loss perspective, I could see the committee like giving us like an 8th seed. I could see it, us dropping that low just because of where we're trending. And again, I know these last 2 games we've been playing, like, and I mentioned it, a little bit of an uptick, but that at the end of the day, if you're not winning games in, you know, especially at the end of the year, you're not going to be favored too much. So I need 2 Big Ten tourney games. They're going to be favored against whoever they play tomorrow. We might even be favored against Northwestern. It would not surprise me. Or if we're not favored, it's going to be a freaking pick 'em in my view. It's going to be a dogfight, 2 physical teams just freaking going at it. So we got to get 2 wins because I think if we get 2 wins, we'll get that 6th seed for sure. If we go 1-1, it's going to be, I still think we get a 6th seed, maybe a 7. If we win 2 games, beat Purdue, wow, that's going to get us to a 5, I think. Not that it, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is, but we got to get 2 wins out of this.
If they beat Purdue, they're a 4 seed, 100%.
You think 4? Oh,
they're
a 4 seed.
They're not beating the number 3 team in a tournament where Purdue's going to have to win 1 game, right? And then it's going to be, you know, win 1, then you're in the championship. It'd be the quarterfinal. If they beat them in the quarterfinal, they're a 4 seed.
That'll be a semi. If we play Purdue, that'll be a semifinal. Oh, that'd be a semi? Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Semifinal. But I'm just going to go real quick. Did you do your 2? You do your 2?
Yeah, we're good. All you, my dude.
So, 1, I'm really just going to ask for the bare minimum right here. Just show the fight that you showed in the Purdue game, and you're going to win some games. Honestly, if you show that mental fortitude against teams like Maryland, that's how you get double-digit wins. You show that against, you know, say we get an 8 seed and we play a 9 seed. I don't give a shit who it is. You fight like that against what you did in that environment, that's one of the toughest environments in the country. Against one of the best teams in the country this year. You show that against a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament, people are going to fold. Not everybody has mental fortitude. That's tough to come by. And if you're a veteran team, you should have it. My second thing, now I wrote this as like a two-parter because I want us to win 2 games as well. If we don't beat Rutgers or Maryland, I'm going to be a little upset. I'll be honest with you. We should beat either of those teams. Then Northwestern, they just lost a really key player, a guard, I believe, right?
Was it Barry? I forget his last
name. Might be Barry. But they just lost a key player, so that should be another win. And then you're looking at a showdown with Purdue. Rebound the ball. Okay? Now, that sounds really simple on the base. But rebounding the ball does a lot of things. First of all, you get defensive stops. So you get the ball back. Secondly, physicality. It tells you that you are being a more physical team. Do those 2 things. Show mental fortitude. You're going to be just fine. You don't have to make 15 threes if you do those couple things. Just play Badger basketball.
So I'm going to say this one first because I do also have on my goals to win 2 games. Reggie said 2 wins would get us a 5 seed. I can see that. If it's 2 wins and a loss to Purdue, like it wouldn't shock me to get a 5 seed.
Yeah.
Now, winning 2 games, at that point, I'm interested to see Wisconsin play Purdue again, and I don't necessarily expect to win, but I think they could pull it off with some better shooting.
Yeah.
And a neutral floor, too, at the end of the day, at a place where I would be willing to bet we would have the home crowd advantage being in Minneapolis. So, going to throw that out there too. Granted, I know Purdue's a 1 seed. They're probably going to, maybe they will bring a lot of folks. I mean, it's not that far, I guess, from Indiana, but I would still expect more Badger fans there at this game. It should be matched up.
I would too.
So, like I said, I think with better shooting, I think the Badgers could pull it off. Now, my other goal, and I told you I was going to come back to the 3-and-D thing, is see if you can get Connor Sejan hot.
Mm.
The Badgers are in desperate need of a reliable three-point shooter. Connor seems like the best shot on this current team. So get him in, get him some shots, and get him out. And just see if Connor can catch fire in one of the games. See if he can catch fire for a stretch of games. I've said it probably 10 times this season that momentum is a bigger deal in college basketball than any other sport. If Connor Sejan can just find a way to get hot for 5 or 6 games, you're talking about being in the Sweet 16 like we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So see if Connor Sejan can get hot and go from there. The Badgers, they need some reliable three-point shooting. And we know they're giving up defense on the guys that they're bringing in. So get them in, get them hot, see if they can shoot. And if they're having a good game, leave them in. And if not, then go back to doing what you've been doing, which is relying on John.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
John Blackwell and your defense and Chucky and Kamari to get you some stops and then play through the paint.
Agreed.
Sign me up.
All right. So I'm going to say this before we let Mike go. Next Wednesday, we are planning on being joined by the guys from Cardboard Legacy. They're going to join us, the old sponsor hopping on with us at the end of the show next week to fill some brackets out. Next Sunday is going to be Selection Sunday. So we're going to have them join us to fill some brackets out. We're going to do a little Wisco Fanatics Cardboard Legacy head-to-head. And the loser is going to have to post the other person's logo as their profile picture on the Facebook and live with that shame for a little while. Alrighty, Mike, well, I'm sure we'll be in touch over the next couple of days as these games get going. But other than that, thanks for hopping on with us and we will see you next week.
Sounds good, fellas. Go Badgers. And I guess go Keel Raiders at State tomorrow in Madison. I'll Lock be there. Purple. I'm not wearing purple. I will cheer for him. Go EWC. But you will not see me wear Keel Raider purple. I'll wear Whitewater Warhawk purple, but that is it. I'm gonna be repping my Badgers jersey tomorrow, and that's justified. So,
bro, I've had this discussion with you. You won't wear Bucks purple?
Okay, Bucks purple too. Yeah, you're right. I would do Bucks purple.
Thank you.
You're right. I'm sorry about that.
Of all time.
Brad said last week he talked about guard doing things different. He said he wish we'd gotten a tee late in the game when Chucky got laid out.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And it happened multiple times, too. Chucky got ran over twice in that game against Purdue. That's a very good point.
But that was ridiculous. I didn't even want to talk about the refereeing because that shit was pissing me off.
Yeah, I'm glad Brad brought that up, though, because that was getting – yeah. We were mad.
Oh.
All right. Well, all right. See you next week, Mike. Fellas.
Yep, later.
You ever seen those videos where, like, the people are on the video games? Yeah, I let some steam off. And they're up, like, 900 to 4. That's what I felt
I
like.
I saw people doing that like, after. Dude, this is a perfect transition. Because I saw people doing this after the Warriors got the shit kicked out of them by the Celtics.
Yep.
And a dude was doing it, and he was just like passing the ball into Curry and shooting like three-quarter court. And he was winning tragic. Like 472-0.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I just had to go let off some steam. And that's unfortunately what the Bucks ran into.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm going to give some context. First of all, big shout out to our guy, Bobby. Bobby played great in the first half. He was really the reason that the Bucks stayed in this game in the first half, because the ball movement from the Warriors was fucking elite, dude.
Dude.
That was elite.
Insane.
Everybody was moving. That thing was hopping.
Yeah.
And here's context for people that don't understand. The Warriors have championship DNA.
Uh-huh.
You don't just get that. You earn that shit.
Nope.
They got smacked. Smacked, spit on, kicked, whatever you want to call it. They got disrespected by the Boston Celtics on national TV. Do you think that they were just going to lay down? Well, what did you guys think was going to happen? They had three full days off. They had to sit with that feeling for 3 days. A team with championship pedigree, the greatest shooter of all time, one of the best defenders of all time, one of the best coaches of all time. And then they were back at their house after they just had a long road trip. Do you think they were going to sit with that?
We've talked about this where it's like the Bucks have some bad games, like a bad loss, and then we say like RIP to the next team. 1,000% there were definitely Warriors fans saying RIP to the Bucks coming into this one.
First of all, they had the Bucks on the schedule, okay? Everybody had that game circled when Damian Lillard came to the Milwaukee, because you're pairing one of the best duos in the league now, right?
Yep.
That's must-watch TV. You know it's probably going to be on national television.
It's fair.
All of the points that I just said, plus that, the Bucks ran into a buzzsaw.
Yep.
Is essentially what I'm trying to tell you.
Yep.
I'm not trying to make excuses for them because they didn't stay connected on defense very well, and they didn't shoot the ball well. Right. They had multiple games where they didn't shoot the ball well this week, but, you know, that's just life in the NBA. It's a make or miss league when you look at it at the end of the day, right? You know, in football, you say it's a game of inches. Baseball, you say it's a game of inches. In basketball, it's a make or miss league. You either make them or you don't. And there are factors that go into making them and not making them. And the Bucks did not do it as well as the Warriors. The Warriors had 37 assists.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild.
That, when I saw that, I was like, they had more assists than we had rebounds, dude. We had 36 rebounds.
Is that 36 defensive rebounds?
No, I have 36 rebounds for us.
I have 45.
You have 45? Well, either way, it was close. I'm going to double-check my math here. But either way, the Warriors had 37 assists, which is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, Malik Beasley was left open. He didn't shoot well. Dame was 5 of 10, so he actually had a pretty good shooting game for him. 5 of 10 behind the arc is outstanding. Giannis was getting to the rim, and, you know, Green was being physical with him, and that's what he was doing. Let me double-check here. Team stats. Yeah, we have 36 rebounds. 30 defensive, 6 offensive. I go on ESPN. That's where I get mine off of. Well,
I'm looking at the wrong game. All right. I'm going to erase that from my notes. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah, they had 36. They had more assists than we had rebounds, which is insanity. But the bench didn't help much. Outside of Bobby Portis, this was the bench stats. 10 points, and they played a lot in this game. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 of 18 from the field, and 2 of 11 behind the three-point line. They're leaving a lot to be desired outside of Bobby Portis.
It's really unfortunate because last Wednesday we were talking about it, and I think Steve is the one that asked the question if AJ could make the playoff rotation. And I'm like, yeah, he's a guy that you could use on a day when Beasley maybe isn't shooting very well, and you could put AJ in and see if he can get hot. And unfortunately, they were both cold.
Mm.
Like, it sucks, but it happens.
Yep.
Like, you're going to have games where they're both hot, and it's going to be really fun, and the Bucks are going to score 140 points. But you're going to have games where they're both cold at the same time, too.
Agreed.
Now, going into, honestly, the things you talked about already, it just brings me to the third quarter. And credit to the Warriors for their ball movement, which you already said. And it didn't waver even in the third quarter when the Bucks started to close the gap a little bit. Damian Lillard hit a disgusting step back to cap an 8-0 run and cut the lead to 11. Brook Lopez got two lay-ins to cut the game to 6. And then Golden State went on a 5-0 run, pushed it right back up to 11. And then another 5-0 run by Golden State after Dame to Giannis alley-oop, and the lead was up to 14. So the Bucks closed it, couldn't keep it close, and then just didn't get over the hump, and Golden State pushed it right back up.
Yeah.
Now, two other things I want to put out here. Points in the paint. Points in the paint. Golden State had 54. Milwaukee had 36.
Mm-hmm.
That's slow. And it's not egregious for Golden State to have 54. I'd like to keep opponents in the 48 to 50 range, but the Bucks need to be in the 50 to 55 range.
Agreed.
Now, Doc said after the game he didn't think the defense was a problem, and I can see where he's coming from. The first half might look like bad defense, but critical to Golden State. We were talking about their ball a little bit. Their first half, they were 32 of 51 from the field. That's 62.7%, and 12 of 19 from the three-point line. That's 63.2%. They had 22 assists on 32 makes. That efficiency is insane. And Steph Curry was cooking. And the Bucks just didn't have the offense in the second half. They were 13 of 47 on field goals. That's 27.7%. And 3 of 23, that's 15%. And they only got 3 free throws in the second half. And all 3 were by Giannis. And then the fourth quarter, just more of the same. Only 9 points in the fourth quarter because of 4 of 24 field goals and 1 of 13 behind the three-point line.
So a little additive on that. That's the first time that the Bucks have only scored 9 points in the final period since 2018. So that's really an outlier. It doesn't really happen very often, obviously. Yeah. And it shouldn't happen. Not that it should happen. Yeah. But just a straight-up buzzsaw, in my opinion, of what in the heck just happened.
Yeah. Friday night was a little different. What's it up to you from the Lakers game?
What the hell? Let's just call it what it is. Why is he making all those threes? D'Angelo Russell hasn't played like that since he was at fucking Ohio State. What the hell? I mean,
like, of course, what happened against the Bucks, right?
Of course. It is what it is because we lost. They shot crazy from the field, man. 47 of 90, 52%, and 16 of 34 behind the three-point line. That is just absolutely unacceptable and also not going to happen all the time. Okay? Just want to put that out there. Giannis got his 8th triple-double of the season, which extends his franchise record for the season. We need to up the ball pressure a little bit more on the perimeter. I think we're getting lackadaisical a little bit. There was a couple times where Russell was just kind of coming off screens and he was just setting his feet and just firing away. And that's just a way to get torched, honestly. And we saw what happened.
Yeah. He had a couple that were just kind of heat check. Yeah. But
and the one at the end of the game.
Of the defense first.
And the one at the end of the game, you know, when they made their back-to-back threes, which, you know, me and you were talking. The one at the end of the game where he made that one, that was crazy, bro. That's how you knew he was on fire. He was in another world.
Were contested.
Yeah, that was nuts. And he was off balance, going to his left, fading away. That was crazy. Giannis and Dave balled out, though. Giannis, 34, 14, and 12. Dave, 28, 5, and 12. Both with 12 assists, moving the ball, both scoring crazy. I know you're going to have a stat on that.
I sure do.
But Bobby Portis, 14 and 8. I mean, very good. You look at the rest of the bench outside of Bobby. 17, 6, and 1, 6 of 11, and 4 of 8. All 6 of those field goals were Pat Connaughton. He was 6 of 7. All 4 of those three-pointers, Pat Connaughton. Everybody else, 0 for 3 and 0 for 4. Keep disrespecting my man Pat. He was 6 of 7 and 4 for 5 from the field. He had 17 points. But people just want to keep talking like he doesn't deserve the minutes that he's getting. This man is a legit NBA player.
Yeah.
I'll argue that he could be a starter on some teams.
Some teams he could, for sure. He's like the perfect role player.
Seriously. Doesn't complain, doesn't cause problems. understands his role. He'll pass the ball. He'll compete on defense. He stretches the floor. He'll rebound. He does it all.
He's not a terrible ball handler. He's a pretty decent passer. Like, we've seen him make some really good passes over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And he's a dirty work guy. He will be the first guy to dive on the floor. When we get to the playoffs, Pat Connaughton will bleed. He will literally bleed at some point. You could put Pat Connaughton bleeding as the free space on your playoff bingo card.
You really could. Or gets hit in the face. One of the two. Malik Beasley struggled at some points, but he did end up making 4 3-pointers. Brook Lopez 3 for 3 from three. But I mean, really the perimeter defense is the one thing that I kind of took away from it. It seems like Pat Bev's really the only guy that kind of gets into you on a consistent basis. Not that Dame and Malik don't try to do it, but
it's not consistent enough.
It's not consistent enough, and that's kind of the problem. I mean, there was times in the Clippers game, which we're going to talk about, where I was kind of like, "Damn, you're kind of just, you're in la la land a little bit on defense, man. You got to stay connected at all times if you want to win a championship." So,
yeah. Especially if they end up facing the Kings, because they have two guards that are really.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But what you got?
I want to come back to that. So keep a pin in that of the consistency, because I think it's a week to week thing.
It is.
So I want to put a pin in that when we get to the Kings game to talk about it over the course of the whole week. So you already mentioned Giannis getting his double-double or triple-double. His passing, dude, he was passing like crazy. Like, he was making crazy passes, dude. And the Lakers were doubling him constantly, and he was still finding the open man and not panicking. So it was kind of a back-and-forth game for a pretty good chunk of the game. Getting into the third quarter, the Lakers got their lead up to 9. The Bucks cut it to 1. And then this is my biggest thing. The Bucks lost this game by 1 point. This is my biggest thing. Letting the Lakers go on a 5-0 run in the last couple seconds of the third quarter is not okay. The turnover that happened at the end of the quarter and letting them go from a point where Giannis was shooting a free throw to tie the game at 91 to the Lakers making a 3 and then stealing an inbound pass and getting a layup as time expired and being down by 6 is not okay. That game went from potentially being tied to being down by 6 in 16 seconds, and they lost this game by 1. And I'm not saying that if Reeves doesn't get that steal and layup that the Bucks win, that you just automatically take 2 points off because the whole fourth quarter still had to happen. But that is inexcusable in a game that close.
Yeah, it is.
That said, the Bucks in the fourth quarter, they kept getting close but just couldn't quite get over the hump. They did tie the game at the 7:20 mark. And I've said it with Giannis, you have to be willing to get dunked on to be a shot blocker.
Yeah.
And these two games, the Lakers and Clippers games, are the case in point. The Lakers game, he gets a massive block at the rim, and it's on everybody's highlight reel. In the Clippers game, he got dunked on. Shit happens. Yeah. But I far more respect the guy who's willing to get dunked on to go for the block than I would for the guy who just stands by and lets the dunk happen. So I will say that every single time this happens. Giannis hit a jumper that gave the Bucks a 1-point lead. Pat Connaughton hit a 3 that gave the Bucks a 2-point lead. Damian Lillard had a 4-point play that gave the Bucks a 6-point lead, part of a 13-2 run, a somewhat questionable overturn on a challenge, but it is what it is. And then I hate to be this person too, but the NBA does this report for a reason. The last 2-minute report did show that there should have been a kicked ball at the end of the game. So the Bucks should have had, I think it was something like 1.2 seconds after the ball was kicked. Mm-hmm. So there should have been a chance for the Bucks to get another shot to win. But I will say, and this was kind of confirmed by Giannis and Doc talking about it, where it's like, you know, we have Dame, he's a clutch guy. You know, we're like, let Dame be Dame, let Dame go get a clutch shot. Like, I get that logic. Like, I understand it. But, like, set a screen for him or something.
You know? They did. They set one screen from Giannis. one down screen and then just gave him the ball.
Yeah. That, again, I get it because he's Damian Lillard. Like, that's who he is. But it felt like it was just like give Dame the ball and be like, okay, Dame, go win the game for us.
Can I tell you, I told you already, but in my opinion, now I don't mind that action having Dame come up off of Giannis' screen. I would have had Beasley run a screen for Giannis to kind of go back door.
Yep.
Had Beasley pop to the corner because now you have to have communication between two guys. Are you going to stick or are you going to switch? And if you get a switch, you get Giannis on a little guy, you're down by one.
Let's say two, because I know they've done it with Pat Connaughton, and I think they've done it with Beasley before too, is running that inverted screen.
Yeah.
Where you can have Beasley start on the closer block, have him come to set a free throw, a screen for Giannis around the free throw line. And if that back guy like is going to run with Beasley because he's worried about Beasley shooting, if that back guy doesn't like sit back into the middle of the paint, Dame can throw Giannis a lob for the win.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, if you get a mismatch, off that screen, mm-hmm. you know, from a little guy, you just tell Dame, you fire that thing in there because Giannis is going to post right away. And, you know, the guard that's guarding Giannis, guard, forward, whatever, he's going to be smaller than Giannis, is going to want to try to get to it or they're going to foul Giannis. So now, as, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NBA you could pick that you want at the free throw line. But, you know, when you look at percentages, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Giannis is very high on the list. He's clutch when it comes to free throws. We've seen it on the biggest stage in the world. Yeah. So you get an opportunity to get Giannis at the free throw line, I feel pretty good he's making one or two.
Or you're talking about two guys sticking with Giannis and Beasley having an open chance at a three for the win.
There's so many more options off of that.
Right.
Now, I don't disagree with letting Dame be Dame.
Right.
He's got the name for the reason, right?
Right.
And he's got this for a reason.
Right. But it's really, really nitpicky, but it, you know what I mean? You could be like, hey, Dame, throw a pump fake in there. You know he's going to be jumping at your shot. That's super nitpicky, but just, you know, again, like another option.
Yeah. And the one thing that I don't really like about the play is having Dame come up and you're having Brook Lopez throw the ball in, I believe. Having Dame come up and then there's going to be a big guy guarding Brook Lopez off the inbounds pass.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're just all clustered, and Dame really only has one way to go. There's a reason that shot was blocked. So you're kind of handcuffing yourself in a way. You know what I mean?
You know who would be – this sucks. Because, like, you know who would be inbounding the ball in a normal situation?
It'd be Middleton.
It'd be Chris Middleton.
And what did I say to you if Middleton is inbounding the ball? What did I say? You run a lob for Giannis. There's nobody in the league better at throwing that lob to Giannis than Chris Middleton. If that son of a bitch is good at two things, he's good at mid-range, and he's good at those lob passes, dude. He's got those things on lock.
And you know what? I hate this, too, is that there are still people saying, oh, Giannis or Middleton's made of glass. Like, dude, fuck's sake, that people don't understand that he cannot control landing on somebody's foot. That can happen to literally anybody.
Yep.
He's making $30 million a year to not play. You think he wouldn't want to be playing? He wants to be playing now. It's the staff that's holding him out.
Yep. Yep, they were running 2v2s and 3v3s with him.
Yeah. Last thing on the Lakers game, Giannis and Damian Lillard became the first duo this season to have 25 points and 10 assists in the same game.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get to the Clippers game.
This was fun. And this showed the mental toughness of the Milwaukee Bucks, in my opinion. Now, people are going to be like, it's the Clippers without PG and Kawhi. Don't really care. Really, really don't give a shit. I don't. In the NBA today, this is not updated, but I believe there's over 30 20-point comebacks in the NBA this year.
Really?
When I saw it a couple days ago, I was at 29, and I know it's over 30 now because the Timberwolves just did it to the Clippers last night.
Damn, that's crazy. Well,
if you want to talk about, oh, this team beat this team without two stars, I don't care. There are teams every damn week giving up 20-point comebacks.
I mean, the Bucks have done it.
Out of the lineup, home, road, it doesn't matter, dude.
The three-point line is the equalizer. Hmm. I don't think people are really grasping that concept.
Interesting.
The Clippers, by the way, made 14 three-pointers in this game. That's a pretty good clip. Now, obviously, they shot 47 of them, so they shot a terrible percentage. But making 14 threes is a lot of points. They also scored 58 points in the paint. So they scored. But the Milwaukee Bucks scored more. And yep. It was really two people.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard and Giannis.
Yep.
Damian Lillard, 7 of 13 behind the three-point line. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. Giannis, 12 of 24 from the field, which is a bad day for him, by the way, which sounds really stupid.
Right.
34 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. Absolutely amazing. Brooke Lopez, Jay, they didn't have to score. Malik Beasley, 4 for 9 from the three-point line, back-to-back games. Bobby Portis, 11 points. The bench didn't really have to do much because Dame and Giannis combined for how many points, Tyler?
The best kind.
The best kind of points, 69 points. They also combined for 21 assists and 14 rebounds. Just wait. Just wait on it, boy. I'm telling you, just wait. Wait till we get 22 back because then this thing's going to pop off and go crazy. Can't wait.
Yes, that's absolutely. I wanted to look and see if I could find something about 20-point comebacks. I'm not seeing the exact number.
I know it was at 29. This was last week I saw it before our episode last week. I saw it. It was at 29. So I know it's at least 30 now, and I know there was at least one more. So it's at 30 or 31 20-point comebacks.
I'm seeing like people having screenshots of the article that was written, but I can't find the actual thing to try to find the exact number. But I believe you that it's around that somewhere. 17 hours ago, 31 for the season.
Told you.
So as of yesterday, there was 31. So
I know there was at least 30. Night, could be higher. Who the hell was the other team? I saw, because after I saw the stat, another team did it because they compared it. And they showed a picture of Kobe. They compared it to 2004-05, and there was only, what, 8 or 9 that year? And now there's 31? That is filthy.
The title of the ESPN article that was written about it was 12 or 20 is the new 12.
Yep. 20-point lead doesn't mean shit anymore. The three-point line is literally the equalizer.
You're talking six threes, and it's a one-possession game.
Yeah. And everybody has – everybody on the roster shoots threes now. Seven-footer shoot threes now. Easily. We have a 7'4 guy who does between the legs spin move three-pointers. Welcome to the new NBA.
Yeah. So I want to pick this up. The Bucks won the third quarter by 9 points. You get into the fourth quarter. Powell got a couple and-ones that tied the game. Malik Beasley hit a big three coming out of the timeout. Giannis got to work in the paint. Damian Lillard hit another crazy step back three. And then the Bucks just couldn't get the dagger, it felt like. Like, they just couldn't get the lead past 5 points. And then Brooke Lopez hit a super deep three. And then Damian Lillard hit, dude, like, just an ice cold in the veins three that got the Bucks lead to 6. And then the Bucks followed with a good defensive possession. And then Damian Lillard hit another insane three to extend the lead to 10 after he made 3 free throws the possession before that. The Bucks were able to get enough rebounds and stops to finish the game off. Giannis finished 3 rebounds shy of his triple-double. And then Giannis and Dame had back-to-back 25 and 10 games. That has never happened in NBA history. That a duo had back-to-back games of 25 or more points and 10 or more rebounds or 10 or more assists.
That is actually wild, bro.
That's crazy. The Bucks are now 22-0 when Damian Lillard shoots over 50% on field goals.
Okay.
This game had 28 lead changes.
I like it.
Which is crazy, but it's fun. Back and forth game. And then points in the paint. And this, I will give Zubat some credit because he's pretty solid. Got to get the 58 points in the paint down. That's too high. It goes hand in hand with the 17 rebounds, that the Bucks allowed offensively to the Clippers that turned into 17 second chance points.
Yeah.
So points in the paint going to be something maybe to keep an eye on over the last handful of games in the regular season. Now we can talk about last night's game. I want to start by saying, first of all, that this game was an outlier when it comes to the Bucks shooting, and I'm going to have stats on it. Second of all, we as sports fans in general cannot allow our emotions to control us.
Yep.
And reacting emotionally is just a really good way to ensure that your thoughts control you instead of you controlling your thoughts. And it's a scary proposition, honestly. I won't get into the extreme example. I won't get into the extreme example of why it's dangerous, because it doesn't really have a forum in a sport discussion. But allowing your emotions to control you to the point where you take one basketball game and use it to project what all of the basketball games are going to be, it's just stupid. Like, I'm sorry if it sounds mean, but it's just stupid.
I mean, that's facts.
I mean, you can literally just do something as simple as looking at the sample size and to this point and find out that this one was not like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to start off by bringing up the shooting numbers, because the Bucks shot 36.6% on field goals and 17.9% on threes. Those are outliers. The Bucks on the season are shooting 48.9% on field goals. That's number 7 in the NBA. That's mm-hmm. a 12.3% difference. The Kings game was an outlier. The Bucks on the season shoot 37.3% on three-pointers. That's number 11 in the NBA. That is almost a 20% difference in what they normally shoot versus what they shot last night. This game was an outlier. Don't let it affect your perception of what can happen based on this one game. That's mm-hmm. stupid to say what one game is going to affect all of the rest of them. So what stood out to you from this?
Yeah, quite frankly, my speech I gave when we started the Bucks talk was it's a make or miss league, and that's exactly what this game was. And you kind of broke down the numbers already, but the Bucks shooting 36% from the field while the Kings shot 53% is ridiculous. And then you go to the three-point line, right? The Kings shoot 45%. The Bucks shoot their 17, almost 18%. And with that 18 of 40, they had plus 33 from the three-point line. And it wasn't that the Bucks weren't getting good looks. Again, it's a make-or-miss league. You know, Malik Beasley had a lot of opportunities. A lot of other people had a lot of opportunities, but
let me put a pin in that for a second, because I have this in my notes. It does not pay, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I saw other people doing it. It does not pay to blame one single person.
Oh, right. I was going to say,
there's no situation in this game where you can try the quote unquote the Bucks would have won if this player shot better. The Bucks had 6 rotational players who shot under 31% from the field. The Bucks as a team just didn't shoot well. It doesn't pay to try to single one player out from this game.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Brooke Lopez, 1-for-4. Damian Lillard, 1-for-6. Giannis was 0-for-2. Malik Beasley, 3-for-11. The bench, 2-for-16. I mean, everybody was missing shots. They had makeable shots.
Yep.
This is just one of those games where you look at it and – I was gonna say a smart ass comment and be like, just like most of the fans, the Bucks were asleep during this game, and it kind of felt like it. I stayed up, watched the first half, and then I had to finish the game. But it was like, man, this is just one of those games. The Bucks were just ready to be back in their own beds. And I looked up the stats. The Bucks versus the West this year are 13-11 on the road.
Horrible, honestly,
it's not. But on the road, they're 4-9, and at home they're 9-2. So,
none of that's horribly unexpected.
No, it's not. When you break it down of the 4-9 on the road, you're thinking like, yeah, that makes sense. And then you think of the 9-2 at home, you're going like, again,
That makes sense.
Makes sense. So 13-11, not that bad.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And the thing about the West Coast for the Bucks, which you have to take in consideration, you have to, absolutely have to. The first West Coast road trip was trash, the way that they scheduled it. Absolutely trash.
Yeah.
I don't care if you guys want to call that an excuse. That is trash. And then this next one, when they play the West on the road, they have to take big chunks of their lives out West. Okay, we're going to be out West for 8 days. We're going to play 4 games in 8 days. Like, that's a lot of shit to deal with, man.
And this is the thing, is that this will not happen in the playoffs.
No, we're not going to be.
There's no 4-game road trips in the playoffs. It's two at a time.
Exactly. And they usually get a day or two between.
At least a day. Sometimes it's 2 days.
Yeah. So
there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
So I just really want to put two things out there. Two positives, honestly, actually, that came from this game. The Bucks did well, only 13 turnovers. I'm okay with that. And then they assisted on 76.7% of their field goals. That's good ball movement. That's something.
That's fair. I like
and
it.
Then they were 77% on 35 free throws. I'll take that as well. Very good. And then 10 offensive rebounds. Like, yes, I realize that poor shooting increases the chances to get offensive rebounds, but they were still active on the offensive rebounds. Poor shooting just be like, oh, well, we're shooting bad. Like, I'm just going to go back on defense because nobody's making shots. To still be active on offensive rebounds on a night you're shooting poorly, I do still think is a positive.
Are we going to talk about the offensive rebound?
The offensive rebound? I mean, like, AJ, I have Ajax written down. Yeah. Like, Ajax, like, having his letters Bucks, like, even with the rim on a putback dunk.
That dude was smiling in the mirror while he dunked it, dude. That was insanity. He said,
dude, he was high as hell.
You ever seen, like, a toddler playing a little tyke, you know, and they grow up and they get a little older and they dunk it like this? That's what he did, but he jumped in the air for that. That was ridiculous, man. From the armpit. Giannis had a couple nice dunks, too, and then Brook ended up getting dunked on by Sabonis, which I'm going to give a shout-out. That was a pretty nice dunk, I won't lie.
He's good. Sabonis is good. He's a multiple-time All-Star for a reason. And yeah, we've talked about it. Like, that trade between Indiana and Sacramento for Halliburton and Sabonis, a rare win-win trade.
Yeah, neither team got fleeced. Both teams were better off for it, honestly.
And both teams are better off now.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the Kings were pretty solid last year, and they're not quite as hot this year, but they're still a good team.
They don't have the perimeter shooting so far this year, but they did last night.
They have it. It just hasn't been as consistent. And we talked about it the last time the Bucks played the Kings. We hold De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk in high regard.
They are very fast.
And they can shoot. And Kevin Huerter can obviously shoot.
Yeah. God damn it. Kevin Huerter is one of those Bucks killer guys, man.
I know, right?
Never a doubt in my mind when it was recent games, he was playing like shit. Never a doubt in my mind that he was going to make a couple threes right away in the game. I was like,
right.
There and it is, of course.
The thing that I wanted to come back to was the week-by-week defense, because we talked about it last week, actually, and I explained what I liked that the Bucks were doing was that the big men were like hedging the screens far enough to let the guards recover. And I didn't see that as much this week. It seemed like they were dropping back a little bit farther, and that's what was allowing guys to get shots. So D'Angelo Russell, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, they were getting open shots coming off of screens because the Bucks big men weren't defending it as highly. So I don't know if that's something that Doc was like, you know, saying, you know, maybe we can take some chances this week with guys not shooting as well. Or if that was something where the Bucks just weren't doing what they were doing over the last week out of some other reason, whether it just be like, you know, laziness or a lack of communication or whatever it may be. I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened, but, you know, some of the other factors that could be players, coaches, you know, whatever scheme, strategy, could be any of those things. I don't purport to know because I'm not in their locker room and in their planning for games, but That to me is the difference, is the way that they defended screens 2 weeks ago versus the way that they defended screens on this West Coast road trip.
Concurred.
Last thing I want to say on a positive note,
going into this Kings game, Chris Middleton was actually officially listed as questionable on the first injury report on Monday. So I think we're getting really close to Chris Middleton playing. He is out for tomorrow. They ruled him out for tomorrow already. But Sunday against the Suns?
Possibility.
Team that hurt him? Maybe that one too.
Full circle moment. Full circle moment right there. Or even on top of that, I mean, because they're going to have 2 days off between the game next week against the Celtics. Maybe just give them this week. There's only two games. And then bring them back against Boston where we smack the hell out of them in their house this time. That record breaks one out the way.
Either way. He's not playing tomorrow, but I could see him playing Sunday or Thursday.
I can see him playing Sunday and then giving him the 2 days off afterwards too. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me as well. But
yeah,
either way, if 22 gets on the court, I'm going to be happy. So,
yeah. All right, so we mentioned the two games already. Thursday against Philly, who scored 79 points last night, even with Tyrese Maxey back in the lineup.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then against the Suns, which last year was the Bucks had a Sunday game against the Suns. It was actually a really exciting game. I was actually there. Yep. But I'm looking for a 2-0 week and get back on track.
Yeah, I'm looking for a 2-0 week as well. The 76ers have they're kind of teetering on the get right game kind of mantra. So we can get right with the 76ers, and then you know the Suns don't play very good defense, so we're gonna be at home for both these games, be at home all week. So hopefully we can get a couple dubs and get back on track here.
All right. And as previously mentioned, next week we're gonna have Cardboard Legacy hop on with us to fill out some brackets.
I think we'll do a bracket challenge for the show. I'm just not quite sure exactly what that's going to look like. So stay tuned for some updates on that. But other than that, Jake and I will be back on Friday night. Just Jake and I, in addition to a handful of guests. A lot of them are pre-recorded, but we're also going to have Eric from Miller Park Minute. He will be joining us live for our 2024 Milwaukee Brewers Primer, giving it its own show this year.
Yes.
So we can have all the guests that we've talked to over the last week. We're going to have some of the recordings from that we did the interviews with. Mike Spofford, Vinny Rattino, Tim Dillard, Scary Alvarez, Javik Blake from the Bluxy Shuckers. Just a lot of guests and a lot of good Brewers discussion that we've had over the last week. And all that's coming out Friday night. So join us for that. Friday night, 8 o'clock, talking Brewers. We will see you then.
Yes, sir. See you then.